we go. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Sorry, I forgot to flick over for that one. Phil, you're coming up. Excellent. I think he just needs to chuck on his mobile microphone thing, unless he wants to preach with this. I'm not. All right, it's just getting him sorted.
Try that. Ooh. Hello. How's that sound? Getting better? Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to Summerlees 2021 and our first Sunday together. It's great to be gathering together in person. So thankful to the Lord for that, and also that we can pray to him and look at his word together. So let's just come before God now and ask for his help. Heavenly Father, we do pray this morning for a miracle. We pray, Lord God, that even as you said, let light shine out of darkness, and there was light, even as you opened the eyes of the man born blind, we pray, Lord God, that you would undo the work of the devil this morning, who has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak and you would make your light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Please help me to set forth the truth plainly this morning so that your grace, which is reaching more and more people, may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's like that. We're back. We'll keep your Bibles open there to John chapter 1. And I want to say this morning, as we begin a new year, that beginnings are important, aren't they? Beginnings are important. And so we're going to be looking at a very important beginning together in John chapter 1, as Christian said. Just looking mainly at this, the prologue, the first 18 verses of John. And so we're just going to be taking a few verses each week over the next few weeks to help us digest Christmas. We want to linger a little bit longer over the incarnation, God, the Word becoming flesh, God becoming a man. But we also want to do this at the beginning of the year, because later on in 2021, God willing, we're hoping to look more at the Gospel of John. So we're going to do a big series in John. That's going to be one of our big series for 2021. And so we thought it might be helpful just to spend some concentrated time looking at this beginning to John's Gospel. So we want to prepare for that. We want to ponder the prologue to whet our appetite for the main course later on in the year. But more than all of that, we want to get to know God. And this is a great place to start, to begin this morning. It's interesting, isn't it, that as we look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all begin differently. Mark begins with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, preaching this message of repentance. Matthew, on the other hand, he begins with Jesus' human ancestry, all the people who were before Jesus and his royal descent in the line of the kings. But Luke, his interest is to assure, to reassure us, to help us know the certainty of these things. And so he gives us the fullest account, the biggest account of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. But here, as we come to John, the Gospel of John, and we look at the way he begins, I want to make the contention this morning that John wants us to wonder at the Word. John wants us to wonder at the Word. So if you're a note taker, that's the big idea this morning. John wants us to wonder at the word. And in particular, John wants us to wonder at the eternity of the word. The eternity of the word. Do you know that music and smells are very powerful things, aren't they? They can take us back, take us to another place and another time, music and smell. So the smell of grandma's recipe cooking, you know, as you lead up to Christmas, can take you back to your childhood. Or the love song that you switch on the radio as you're driving in the car can take you back to when you were dating. Music and smells, very powerful things. And John chapter 1 is a bit like that, because John takes us back. John chapter 1 is like the overture of the great gospel symphony. And as soon as John strikes the very first note of that symphony, he takes our minds back. He transports us to another place and another time, because immediately we feel, as we read the very beginning of John chapter 1, we feel like we're in Genesis, because he begins his book in the beginning. In the beginning. But there's a twist. We expect to read, in the beginning, God. But instead we read, in the beginning was the Word. We expect to read of the divine doing that God created. But instead we read of the divine being. In the beginning was the Word. We expect to read of a creation story, don't we? In the beginning. But instead we read of the divine being. Instead we read of a pre-creation story, a pre-creation reality. In the beginning was. You see, all the other gospels emphasize that Jesus was born in time. But John dares to transport us back. He takes us back, and he begins with the pre-existent Word. The pre-existent Word. John takes us back before the birth of Jesus, before the ministry of Jesus, before the manger, before the virgin birth, before the human ancestry of Jesus, before even creation itself. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. Do you know people love old stuff? Do you love old stuff? Have you been to the Margate train and that shop there at the back of the Margate train with all the antiques? The problem is you can spend a very long time in there. Once you get in, it's hard to get out. And the thing is that the new is the old. We like distressed furniture, and so we sort of sand it all back and paint it streaky. We like retro furniture from the 70s and antique pieces that are going to offset all the new shiny stuff in our house. And the older something is, the more authentic it feels, the more genuine, the more real a thing is. And the less likely it is, you see, to be a cheap imitation if it's old. And I want to say, as we begin the Gospel of John, that one of the reasons I'm a Christian and perhaps not following another religion in the world is because Christianity has the oldest claim. It didn't originate in the 19th or the 18th century or some other time in the Middle Ages or any other particular time. The claim of the Christian message is not that it was the brainchild of some genius or the sort of enlightened revelation of some monk. No. The claim here is that this goes all the way back. That the Word was there always, even before creation. That at the origin of everything, the Word already was. As Augustine said, this beginning had no beginning. There never was a time when he was not. He always was. This is the eternal, infinite Word, uncreated. And John, you see, has the audacity, the boldness, the braveness to go beyond and behind the creation to who preceded it. Who was there before the creation of the world? Who was there? Well, John tells us the Word was. So wonder, kids, wonder. Think about that. That who was there before the world? Well, the Word was there. Adults, wonder. Who can fathom this? wonder at the word, the eternity of the word. But then secondly, John wants us to wonder not just at the eternity of the word, but he wants us to wonder at the Trinity of the word. And we get a hint of that here, don't we? Because immediately in the second part of that sentence, in the beginning was the word, immediately we read of the second person of the Trinity. We're introduced to we're invited to look upon a relationship. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, with God. The Word, you see, was not alone in eternity. He was not lonely, independent being, dwelling by himself. No, the Word was with God. He was accompanying him. He was in relationship to him. He was towards God, in fellowship with him, in the closest possible connection. Verse 18 says that he was at the Father's side, distinguishable from God, and yet enjoying this personal, intimate relationship with God. It's interesting. A few years ago, we went on one of our sort of day trips, time away. We went to the Tasman Peninsula, and we went to look at some of the old convict ruins from the earlier days here of Tassie. And it's interesting that one of the cruelest forms of punishment, I think, that has ever existed is solitary confinement. And we were there looking at these old ruins, and it was just, you know, a few bricks in the shape of it, and then the other bits where you could actually look into these cells and you could see where these people were confined alone by themselves. And it made you feel sick just looking at it. Just it was a horrible thought to be alone like that. But John is saying here, and I think this resonates with us as humans, because we are made in God's image. John is saying here that at the core of the universe is not just being, but belonging. Not just existence, but relationship. You see, Christianity says that we are made in the image of God and that God is relational. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And verse 2 summarizes this again for emphasis. He was with God in the beginning. He. You see, the Word is a person. He was with God. So wonder, mums and dads. Wonder at the relationship. Wonder, brothers and sisters, wonder, families, that God is a triune God. He is one, but he is three. The Word dwelt with God. And then thirdly, John wants us to wonder at the divinity of the Word. And I think this is the climax of this first sentence, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then he adds this third statement, that the Word was God. You know, holidays are a great time. I love holidays, and it's a great time for watching movies. Have you watched any movies? You sat down as a family and watched a film or two over the Christmas New Year break? And I've been amazed at how many superheroes there are these days. If you've been amazed at that, you know, the Marvel and Disney and all that, those kind of guys, you know, there are so many superheroes. It used to be there was just Superman and Batman. But now, you know, there's all these other ones. And it seems to me that we have a longing as a humanity for someone who can function beyond our human limitations, yeah? We're fascinated by that. We're entertained by that. We long for that. We desperately need someone like that, someone more powerful, someone stronger, kinder, faster, better, greater. And John is telling us at the beginning of his gospel that the hero of his gospel is not just a man or even a great man. No, from the very beginning, John wants us to make crystal clear that the Word was God. You know, God's words are like our words in a sense, in that they're wonderful revelations of who we are. As we speak, we open ourselves up to relationship. We invite relationship. And the people get insight into our thoughts and into our feelings, and they words show us what we are like, and they show us that we're not indifferent because we speak, and we're not aloof because we relate and we open up. And God's words are like that, but it's interesting here, isn't it? Because the word is more than just information. The word is more than a set of truths about God. The word is not just an attribute of God or an activity of God in which he speaks. The word is God, both separate from and yet fully God. All the divinity that belongs to the rest of the Godhead, the Father and the Holy Spirit, also belongs to the Word. So wonder, wistful world, captivated by your superheroes, that the Word was God. And John also wants us to wonder at the creativity of the Word. Have a look at verse 3. John says, through him, through the word, all things were made. That's comprehensive language, isn't it? All things. Through him, all things were made. He says that positively, and then he switches it around and says that negatively. He says, without him, not a single thing, nothing was made that has been made. You see, all of God's creative activity was done through the word. How did God make the world in the beginning? Well, he spoke and the world came into being. The means by which God created the universe was his powerful word. One commentator suggested that if we could have a microscope powerful enough to see the most minute entities in creation, he says imagination says that we might detect on them something like the imprint or the initials of God made by Jesus Christ, made through Jesus Christ. Now, that's kind of a nice thought, isn't it? But it's rubbish because we don't need a microscope. In fact, Romans 1 says that the whole world is inexcusable because this fact is obvious everywhere to the naked eye. The fingerprints of God are all over his creation. He hasn't made it subtle. He's made it glaringly obvious, inexcusably obvious. Watch a sunrise, climb a mountain, look at a bird. I was looking at the fish in our fish tank, this tiny little thing just sort of, you know, groping around. Look at a flower, look in the mirror. We ourselves made in his image. But you see, what John is telling us here is that creation was a joint effort. It was a collaboration, a team. God the Father, through the Word, brought everything into being. Through him. You see, not only have we been purchased by Jesus Christ in the middle of history, but we were made through Jesus Christ at the beginning of history. And we will return to him for judgment at the end of history. We are his. This is who we are, made through Jesus Christ. We belong to him. So wonder, lost teenager, wonder, listless nomad, wonder, midlife crisis man, this is who you are. You are made through Jesus. But verse 4 takes us further, doesn't it? It moves from general creation to specific creation of life. Life. Have you watched any nature documentaries over the break? They're amazing, aren't they? Oceans teeming with fish. I love those views looking up where you see these massive schools of fish just whirling around. And it's just a cloud of them. Have you watched, I just heard this week about all the crayfish that are protected off the coast here. Incredible numbers of crayfish off Tasmania. Or whales migrating up the coast, you know, just spewing out their thing out of their hole. Whales just playing in the ocean. The world is full of life. The skies are full of birds. The land is packed with all kinds of creatures, both small and big. Masses of people bustling around the cities around the globe. But where does all this life come from? Where does it come from? Verse 4 tells us, in him was life. You see, how is it that we can find hope at the beginning of a new year? As this pandemic continues to sweep across the globe, how can we maintain hope as we continue to hear of yet more COVID cases and more deaths? It's not because COVID is king. That would be depressing. It's because Jesus is king. It's because in him is life. Life, not death, but life. Only he, only Jesus, the Word, can stand in the face of death and say, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Only Jesus can stand in the face of death and say, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full. Only Jesus can stand at the graveside of a friend and say, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he dies, will live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Lazarus, come forth. Only Jesus can do that. He is the life. Only he can stand on the other side of his own resurrection and come to dying people and say, peace be to you, peace be to you. You see, this whole gospel is going to be an invitation to find life in Jesus, life in Jesus. Wonder, COVID world, wonder at Jesus, the Word. In him is life. Find life in him. And fifthly and finally, John wants us to wonder at the victory of the Word, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. What did God say in creation? Let there be light. And there was light. And the light expelled the darkness and overcame it. In new creation, in recreation, Jesus comes into this world, this dark, this fallen world. He comes as the light of the world. Isn't it amazing how John moves from life to light? He comes as the light of the world and he overcomes our darkness. The light and the darkness, you see, they're not equal and opposite forces in the world. They're not. The light wins. The light has overcome. The light has triumphed. The light has defeated the darkness, dispelled the darkness, sent the darkness running. And the light shines, present tense, in this darkness. The light shines. And the victory is already there. The light has overcome. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder, despairing world. Wonder, defeated sinner. Wonder that the light has overcome the darkness. He's won. It's like a chess game. You know, when you get to the end, there's still a few more moves to be played out, but you know they've lost. There's still a few more moves to be played out in the history of the world, but Jesus has won. Wonder, dying world, despairing world, defeated sinner, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Wonder, wonder and believe. Let's push all of this massive theology through the manger before we wind up. and wonder at Christmas. That eternity stepped into time. That Trinity was separated. That divinity took on humanity. That the Creator stepped into His creation. That the life was crushed to death. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christianity did not begin in the manger. In the beginning was the Word. That holy child, the eternal, infinite Word, that holy child, the second person of the Godhead, God Himself, that holy child, the Creator, that holy child, the life and the light of man. Wonder, post-Christmas world, wonder at the Word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the wonderful truths, even in these first few verses of John. We pray, Lord God, that we might know in 2021 the life and the light of the eternal Word, Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who is God. We praise You, we adore You, we worship You, and we pray, Lord God, that we might never lose the wonder of who You are, and that we might trust You as we go into this year ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.